Hey everyone, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavaliers. Today's show, Spencer Davies from the Basketball Insiders here to talk about where the Cavs are heading into at the All-Star break, the dunk contest, what the bench units might look like, and Kevin Love's return, and Jetty Osman as a starter. A whole lot of stuff, the key Cavs topics as we do covering every day back on Monday. And a couple fun shows planned next week to give you a tease. We're going to talk about cap space and where the Cavs is. Money and Dan Gilbert's checks are going to look like going forward, talking about the East playoff picture with Chris Barnwell from CBS Sports and about LeBron and him needing and the Robins and Nightwings and all sorts of nerdy analogies. I'm very excited to sneak into on a basketball podcast. But today's show, Spencer Davies from Basketball Insiders, back on Monday. Enjoy All-Star Weekend. We'll talk about Larry Nance's dunks on Monday, I'm sure. And LeBron's performance as team captain, I'm sure, as well. But have a great weekend. Enjoy All-Star Weekend. Take some time off and talk to you on Monday.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Spencer, we're two games into the new Cavs era as we record this, but what has stood out to you in those two games? A win over the Celtics, a win over the Thunder.
The guys are smiling. I feel like that's the best thing you can take out of it. You know, Kobe Altman continually talked about joy and energy, and I think that you've gotten both with the new acquisitions, and they've kind of just re-energized this group of guys. I mean, you can see it in LeBron's face. You can certainly see it from J.R. Smith's standpoint. And even the guys like Clarkson and Nance, Hood and Hill, you can just tell that they're having fun as well because they're, you know, away from their old environments and they're playing with a team that has expectations on them. And pretty much none of the four have had expectations on them except for maybe George Hill and, Rodney Hood in Utah and Hill, obviously when he was with San Antonio. But I think honestly, they're just bringing the transition game. I think they bring a lot better shooting. I think I saw a statistic before the trade that the shooters the Cavs were sending out were shooting sub 30% on catch-shoot shots, and the guys they brought in collectively were 38%. So that's nearly a 10% difference, and with LeBron going out and trying to find these guys on the perimeter and also on the fast break, I feel like it's a really good four additions for him. So I think out of the last two games, one in Boston, you know that they've been struggling offensively, but at the same time, you saw the effort there a lot more than you have in the past 2 months. I think that there was a lot of energy behind that game as well, a lot of juice, so to speak. So that's why they went out and thrashed Boston. And against the Thunder, I mean, on their own home court, you know, they came out and pretty much flip the script on them because when the Thunder came in here a couple Saturdays ago, they absolutely blasted them. So I think they had that in mind, and the new guys just didn't slow down. I mean, Larry Nance in that second game was just absolutely relentless on the boards and getting extra possessions for him. So that's what he brings. Rodney Hood, he'll knock down your threes. I think he was 4 of 8 in that game, and he hit 3 or 4 in the game before that. George Hill, steady guy, obviously the veteran of the group, the only guy who's not 25 of that trade acquisition group, but he brings that. And then obviously Jordan Clarkson, man, the absolute from end to end, how fast that guy is, and the fact that he's as aggressive as he is. I wrote this on Twitter the other night. He's going to have his 2 for 10, 3 for 14 type of nights. That's just the type of player he is. But man, the reason the Cavs went and got him is because of what he's done these last two.
I think there are fair caveats to put in on what we've seen. Like, I think Rodney Hood is not going to shoot like 50% from three, right?
No,
like
he's streaky. Yeah.
Yeah. Clarkson is going to have games where he's just not playing bad, and I think, like, you know, like the right now the defense, the offensive rating in those two since those guys debuted is 4.4 points better than the Warriors. The defense is still, you know, it's in the league, it's higher ranked, but it's only like a couple points. It's better, but it's not like significantly like improved just yet. It's 11th since they came back, but it's, you know, it's only a couple points better than, you know, where they're at for the season overall. They're for the year, they're 109.8. They're like 107.2 right now with those new guys. So it's better, but it's not, I think, improved enough yet. But has one guy kind of stood out to you as like you being surprised by what he's done or how he's fit so far? For me, I think the Hill, George Hill, has been the guy that has stood out to me the most, but all of them have sort of had their moments. Clarkson, I think, has maybe been the most surprising, but Hill's been the guy to me because of what he's doing on defense, and they're letting him do some creation from point guard, and he looks comfortable doing it, and he's just the opposite of Isaiah in so many ways. He stood out to me quite a bit.
So I kind of disagree there because George Hill's a veteran. You know, he's been around the block. I think this is his fourth team. He's a veteran. He comes under the Pop tree. Obviously, he had his first 3 years in San Antonio. I think it would have been easier for him to adjust, at least on the court-wise. I know in an interview with Fox Sports Ohio that George Hill said that it was tough for him because his family just welcomed in a newborn. So, you know, the whole process of moving, you know, from Sacramento and stuff like that probably had to take a toll. But, I mean, he's a veteran. He's been around the block, 31 years old. He knows how to play. He knows his role. He was the one that came out and said that we have to be LeBron's Robins, and he understands that. And I think having a point guard like that, I think this is one of the best point guards that LeBron will ever have played with, just because of his intangibles of the game and knowing what he's supposed to do. He's an excellent catch shooter. He can make entry passes, so that'll really help when Kevin Love gets back. He can find guys on the perimeter. He can do a lot of things. And defensively, I mean, did you see what he did on Kyrie Irving? He was just absolutely phenomenal on him on Sunday. So I didn't think that he would be the hardest fit. Honestly, of the four, I didn't think there was going to be a tough fit. I know there was a lot of people down on Jordan Clarkson because of his defensive, you know, problems. But the thing is, when he's as offensively inclined to produce as anybody else on the court, I feel like that's already a positive. You know, I hate comparisons in the NBA, especially when, you know, guys are in their third, fourth year. But I honestly see him turning into like a Jamal Crawford type, you know, a guy that comes out there, gives you the juice, gives you the spark you need, you know, and if he's hot, then he's not going to miss. If he's cold, then it's just not his night. But yeah, I think you can definitely see that he's definitely motivated to play defense and at least try. I mean, like I told people around me, the defense is not going to get worse than what you saw for the first 3 or 4 months of the season. It's not simple. The younger guys are going to get up and down the court. They're going to at least try to make second efforts and try to get back in transition. So I feel like that is exactly where they're going to have improved. And I think going into the break, they have a nice little, you know, good feeling about themselves. And this is a time for the new guys to learn, you know, the playbook and whatever Coach Lou has planned for them.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't mean I was like surprised by what what he can do. I think just how seamless it's been has sort of been interesting.
Okay.
How like all seamless it's been like for everybody. Like Hood, they've kind of found sets for Hood pretty evenly. Hill's kind of just been like they've told him what to do, and he's playing harder than he did with the Kings, which wasn't hard to do necessarily. Clarkson's just kind of looked so much better in an actual good team. Like he's never played on a team with a LeBron, but also just like this many good players. And Nance just kind of outplayed Tristan Thompson against the Thunder, did a better job against Steven Adams and Tristan, and really earned his minutes. I think all of them have made their case. Some of the other moves around this also have been kind of interesting. We've seen Jetty start and Kyle Korver kind of had his role cut, but we'll start with Korver. I mean, he was kind of one of the obvious guys to lose some minutes, especially while Love's out, while Jeff Green maybe matters more. But, I mean, is 8 minutes for Korver what he's going to – do you think that where he should be going forward? I don't know if I do, but I don't know how high you can really go him, play him because of the defensive limitations, but I don't know if 8 minutes is enough for a guy like that, especially with how good he can be with LeBron.
Well, it's very difficult. I mean, Kyle Korver, he's 35, 36 years old on a team that is clearly trying to go the youth direction, trying to run. I mean, obviously he fits the equation as a catch shooter, as a guy who will come off of DHOs and knock down those threes. But it's tough while you're going to try to develop Jetty Osman. You have Rodney Hood, you have J.R. Smith, and you know, guys that fit the 2-3 profile. You've got about 3 or 4 of those now, so it kind of hinders Kyle Korver from being in some of those lineups. But I think Ty Lue will figure it out. I don't think he's going to be playing in less than 10 minutes a game. I don't think we should go that far. It could just be matchup based at this point. And to go further from your point earlier, I think that the reason these guys have fit in so seamlessly, the new guys, is because they're just playing basketball. They have nothing to think about. They don't really know, you know, what their role is yet. So they're just being themselves. And I think that moving forward should be what the Cavs focuses on. They don't think they should tinker too much. Maybe aside from, you know, some rotations, I'd like to see George Hill and Rodney Hood in the backcourt just because of how much success they have with the Jazz. But I think just not having to think and overthink, you know, spots and all that, and they're just playing basketball out there.
I think it's a really good point about them just kind of just playing right now. I think the thing for me with Korver is I wonder if there's a point where if Hood has like a couple bad games, and maybe it's in the playoffs, maybe it's in the regular season, there's like 29 games left or whatever, if there's a game where Hood plays really bad, or a couple games where he plays bad, and Lou decides, okay, like maybe Hood's more dynamic, he can get to the rim easier, but we can trust that Korver is going to make it a higher clip just because he's one of the greatest shooters ever. I wonder if there's a point where Lou and maybe LeBron to some degree is like, okay, I want that trust of Kyle Korver in the corner on the wing then instead of Hood. I wonder if that's like a discussion. I don't know. It's way too early for us to think about that, but I wonder if that's where he gets in because, I mean, he is competing for minutes. So LeBron is the three. And so four, it limits the number of minutes. And Hood can go up a little bit easier, but I think we saw with how he defended Paul George, he fought really hard. He put in some good effort. But there's a limit on what he's going to do against guys like that at the three. Like I don't know. He can't physically, I think, match up against those guys and the elite bigs. And there's not necessarily a ton of those threes. But he's going to have a problem. And Korver would even more. So, but at least with Hood, you can talk yourself into thinking he can at least be passable there. But I wonder if there's a point where they go to Korver just because they know he's a bit more dependable. And I would like to see him get back to playing with LeBron more because that's just where he's going to be at his most effective.
I agree. I think also in a sense that, you know, Ty's going to try to get the most minutes out of the new guys just because he wants to see what they can do. Like Kyle Korver is not going to turn into the Mike Miller of this team of a few years ago. He's not going to just get phased out of their rotation completely. That's just nonsense. But I do think for the majority of games, the defensive matchups that he draws at his position are tough. And he might not be as athletic, you know, as the other guys. He might not have the same spring in his legs that the other guys have. So it's going to be difficult to keep him on the floor if that's where he's getting hurt in the other end. For sure. Come, you know, playoff time, come, you know, really important game time in March and April. Kyle Korver will be seeing minutes. I don't think that's anything to be concerned about. And like you said, him and LeBron work off of each other so well. And that was the only thing that kept the Cavs going between him or between those two and Channing Frye on the floor. And even Jeff Green in some cases for those first, you know, 3-4 months. But yeah, he's not going to get phased out.
Do you like the move to start Jetty in those two games? And it looks like that's going to be the case, at least maybe till Love gets back. That seems on the table. And do you like that he's starting? And how long would you, if you were in charge of this, how long would you keep that going? Or would you start Hood? Would you start Jeff Green? Like, would you keep starting Jetty Osman, at least for the time being, until Kevin Love gets back? And you presumably think they go back to Love, Tristan, LeBron, Hill, and JR?
I don't think you switch anything up. I mean, three starts for Jetty, three wins. And I know it doesn't boil down to as simple as that, but I think you see on the floor how I call him the Tasmanian devil because he's literally just always just spinning around trying to make a play happen. I remember there was a play with the Celtics where a guy missed a shot. He went and got a rebound. He did this like 180 midair and put a shot up, drew a foul. And obviously his free throw shooting has to improve. But I think that what he brings to the table is just a sense of an unknown. And I think that really kind of keeps teams on their toes. I know he only got like 15 minutes against the Thunder, but that's fine. I mean, there's a lot of starters around the league who don't, you know, play that many minutes. So, I mean, it doesn't really necessarily mean, you know, if you're in the starting lineup that you're the one closing the game, that you're the one, you know, playing 25 plus minutes. But setting a tone, absolutely, I would keep Osman in the lineup until Love came back. Especially because you don't want to mess with the groove that the new guys are in, at least for the first two games. So I'd keep Osman in there. I mean, he's a really good defender. He stepped up against Jimmy Butler last Wednesday. You know, he steps up against, you know, Kyrie Irving on Sunday. And I mean, I know it didn't work out too much in his favor, but the fact that Ty Lue's throwing him on those type of guys, Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving, means that there's a ton of trust in him. And I know that Kobe Altman likes J.D. Osmond a lot. So I would foresee this lineup sticking through at least for the near future.
Definitely has earned, I think, not just Altman's work, but I think he's earned Ty Lue's kind of trust, and that definitely took some time. I think, you know, other situations may have just played because they like him as the front office liked him, but I think for Lue, you had to earn that. I agree with you. I wonder if he will, like, kind of not get Bogans, but start, and then, you know, he didn't hit in the Thunder game, he didn't sub back. Maybe that's because I think he struggled with George and Anthony. Even though he had some good moments, he definitely struggled. And I think Lou's always going to have the tendency to trust Jeff Green, to trust maybe some of the new guys even more than Jetty right now. I think when you're looking way far ahead and you look at the trimmed rotation that they'll eventually use in the playoffs, I think he's the first casualty, unfortunately. I think there's upside to playing him maybe early, but I kind of think he's the first trim. Is he, in your mind, is he the first guy that when they start cutting back from 10, 11 players to maybe 9, is he the in your mind, the first guy that gets cut, or someone else you think is more on the edge than him?
Yeah, that's probably a safe assumption, just because, I mean, they're definitely loaded at the position now, between the 2 and the 3, and they have a lot of versatility now. They have a ton of versatility. Probably about 3 or 4 guys that can play, you know, you could say 2 through 4, or maybe even 3 through 5. So, yeah, he'd probably be the first casualty, but that's okay. I mean, he's a rookie. He's still learning the game, as he's going, but this is great for his development right now. And getting these kind of meaningful minutes, you know, at this point of the season is huge. And I think, for Ty Lue earning his trust, I think it was partly that, but I think also, there were too many cooks in the kitchen for him to play Jetty, at least for consistent minutes. I know it sounds like an excuse, but, you know, when you got, you know, guys like Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade, Isaiah Thomas, you could even say Iman Shumpert in there.
Just imagine the locker room. I mean, like, just imagine what we know about that locker room and just the tenseness of it. Just imagine if, like without – just middle of the regular season, if Wade and like all those guys when they were healthy lost minutes to Osman just for whatever reason, like that would, I think, would have been
worse.
Like, yeah,
worse.
And like, especially like if Isaiah got his minutes cut or something like that, that would have been a problem. I think right now there's the freedom to do it. And I think the Wolves game that I think you smartly mentioned, he earned. I think that game was just like, this guy can, he's going to make mistakes for sure. He has his limitations. He's going to have bad free throw shooting nights. He's not going to be a consistent shooter just yet. But he's going to make plays and play hard, and I think like that Wolves game was the proof of concept for him as a rookie.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, just watching it firsthand live, just see, he got 2 legitimate stops on Jimmy Butler between fourth quarter and overtime, and then after one of those stops, he boat raced to the end of the floor, just gunned it down, and LeBron found him in transition for a huge bucket. And I think you're right about that as far as you know, Jetty, you know, learning from his mistakes and stuff like that, like. For instance, in the Boston game, he had a play where he forced a turnover. I don't know if he was the one who stole it, but I know that he had a part in definitely getting the ball, and he went to the other end and missed a dunk. But the great thing was you saw LeBron James and another guy, I can't remember who it was, but they were clapping their hands, like looking at him. They like appreciate the effort. I mean, he didn't finish.
It might have been Clarkson.
I think so. I think so. But they appreciate the effort, so...
I think that's a big thing. Just like they appreciate the effort. I think there's room for it right now. As we look past All-Star break, what are you looking when they come out of the break and they play the Wizards and the Grizzlies? I think they're the first 2 games on a back-to-back. What are you looking for once the Cavs are back? And I do think LeBron was right that it is kind of a bummer that they're for them that they cannot continue this role right now and keep going, but because they're all already spread across the country and doing their own thing. But when they do come back, they play the Wizards and the Grizzlies, 2 teams that have had interesting seasons, 1 kind of bad team, 1 team that's going through some stuff right now. What are you looking forward to seeing? What are you looking for from this team when they come back from All-Star break?
Just trying to keep it up. I mean, you know, 4 straight going into the break, that's always a good thing. I think that they just are going to continue to learn each other's games pretty much. Maybe you see a little bit more aggressiveness out of George Hill. Again, he knows his role, but, you know, he seemed kind of hesitant, at least in that first half against the Celtics. He's picked it up since then, but you want to see that, you know, kind of confidence still coming through. I think their defensive, you know, principles are going to end up picking up pretty well just because of the amount of guys who can switch now. you need J.R. Smith to continue, you know, shooting as torrid as he has been this last week or so. He's really picked it up. And you're going to need those offensive contributions. Maybe not 20 a night, but, you know, give you that 12. That makes a huge difference. And then LeBron, I think he's shooting 48% from three this year or this month. And you need to continue to protect the basketball because that was ultimately the Cavs' Achilles heel in January. Was that LeBron was coughing it up a lot, and it ended up turning into easy buckets on the other end. Now, fortunately, when you turn it over now, you got guys racing to the other end to defend the rim.
Trying matters.
Exactly. So, I mean, take care of the basketball. You know, try not to play in the half court too much. Get out in transition, and that's exactly where they're going to be at in their best. And you've seen how many open looks that either LeBron and George Hill and even Jordan Clarkson have generated for guys on the perimeter in these past two games. And that needs to continue because that's going to be their identity.
I think the one thing, like the Kevin Love's return and the defense kind of are my two big stories, but I think the JR thing's a smart thing to hit on. But I think the one thing I'm very curious about is what do these bench lineups end up looking like in terms of success once some of these numbers even out? Like if, when Clarkson and Hood or one of the two even just have bad nights and LeBron's, if they continue to not play LeBron with these bench units to start the fourth quarter, it's worked so far because they shellacked the Celtics, and that game was just kind of like, I think, will be a data point outlier. The Thunder game, the Thunder just have a bad bench. They did well. They deserve credit for extending that lead, I think, when it was basically Paul George plus bench players for a large portion of that fourth quarter before Russ and Melo came back. And then the full-on kind of push happened there. But I wonder what these bench lineups will look like when they don't have when they're not playing a team with a bad bench. And I haven't like done the dive to see like the pinpoint of the exact game yet, but I'm skeptical that is going to be a successful thing. I think one of the big questions I have post trade is without Wade, who had limitations and wasn't trying every night and everything, but led some successful bench units, I don't know what they look like now. And that's just a question. It's too early to know, and it's going to take some time. But that's one of the, I think, the most important questions that guys have to answer about this new roster.
That's a really good question. And you make a really good point about the Thunder. I mean, their starters outscored the Cavs 92-69 on Tuesday night. So it's a very fair point to make about the bench. Here's where I kind of say that it's not really going to affect too much because Ty Lue infuses the starting lineup and the bench so much. Especially when LeBron's out there with the units, that I think that their production's still going to, you know, at least continue to be at least similar to what it was. I mean, yeah, there's obviously chances that you can miss shots and stuff like that. But the thing you have now with this bench is if someone's having a bad night, there's another guy who could pick you up right away. So I feel like that factor in its own right, the fact that these guys can shoot now and they can dribble, penetrate, kick out, or finish, is huge. So it's going to be somebody new, you know, every night if somebody, you know, else is having an off one. But I wouldn't see too much of the bench, you know, having issues. I mean, just because they played, you know, a team like the Thunder with not a great second unit. I mean, Boston's got a good bench. I mean, I feel like, you know, Terry Rozier and, you know, that crew, I mean, I know they're younger, but I feel like they've got a decent bench. So, you know, when they came in, they set the tone and really took it to them. So I foresee the same thing happening, you know, moving forward. But I think the starters are really going to pick up really well when Kevin Love comes back, just because of what I mentioned earlier, because he hasn't played with a guy like George Hill who will get him the ball and knows to get him the ball in the right spots, get him going in that first quarter like he usually does. And he'll really have an impact, I think.
Love's return, I think, will be huge.
Huge.
I mean, is that your biggest story the rest of the year? Like when he comes back and how he fits in? Is that your biggest Cavs thing to watch the rest of the year? Do you have something else in mind?
No. I think Kevin Love coming back is going to be huge, just because. I mean, that's going to be your secondary scorer. So he comes back in. You know, I like to think that a lot of fans around here are like just waiting for impending doom about, you know, certain lineups and how they work just because of, you know, what's going on here. But the difference with this team now is they have some youth and they have guys who know how to adjust on the fly. And it's not going to take too much because the usage is going to be distributed evenly here, with the new guys at least. So I feel like it's going to not take as much tinkering or as much adjusting as a lot of people are believing it will. I mean, George Hill knows how to play basketball and play it the right way with whatever pieces are working around him. Sacramento is an outlier. They had the youth movement going on. From what I heard from people in Sacramento is that George Hill was tremendous in the locker room. He never had anything bad to say, you know, about playing time or, you know, the fact that De'Aaron was starting in front of him or any of that. So having a guy like that in the locker room and on the floor that understands what he's supposed to do for a team is absolutely crucial. So he'll know to get Kevin Love involved and going early. And I don't see Kevin Love playing too much with the bench guys like Clarkson, Nansen, and Hood, honestly. So I think the only thing you're going to really have to pay attention to is how he'll adjust. But I feel like that's just an easy, natural adjustment for a guy who's played in the league for, you know, at least 10 years.
The spot I think he makes a lot of sense in is that I can't remember I don't have it exactly in front of me right now, but I think it was Clarkson, Hood, Korver, Green, and Nance. I actually think Love in for Green there would make some sense if they're in those non-LeBron. They're going to have 5 minutes in a playoffs where LeBron doesn't play. I kind of think that's with the shooting, with it could allow him to play, make a little bit. I think he fits well with Nance. Maybe you put him at the five, you know, and play Nance another way. There's variations of that. But I kind of think if you're going to – that would be a place where he could get time with those guys and it would make some sense for him. But we just don't know. When he returns, I think is maybe more important than how he looks when he returns, just because I think the expectations will be fine. But will they have 2 weeks in the regular season, or is this going to be brushed up against the end of the season where they're trying to rest guys? That I think matters a lot. That timing is going to be huge.
Yeah. You're right about that. I think that you're going to have, you know, the younger guys going to be getting more minutes towards the end of the season as the, you know, postseason approaches. So, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, essentially, from, you know, what we've been watching.
Yeah, not at all.
So that's not the worst thing. And you see, like, when LeBron's off the floor, that, you know, the guys, I mean, again, it's a two game sample size. You don't want to look too much into it. But they play off of each other pretty well. So, I mean, if, you know, Jordan Clarkson is going to be your primary scorer and Rodney Hood's going to be your secondary scorer in that bench unit, I don't see anything wrong with that just because of the success that both of them have had in their past teams.
Yeah, Clarkson, and if Clarkson can get that LeBron bump, that would be huge. Yeah, two-game sample size, we'll see when they come back. But let's wrap it up on this. Larry Nance in the dunk contest. Is he your pick? Is he your pick? And is there something you would like to see him try to do? I want to see him wear his dad's jersey. That's what
absolutely.
That's, if I was him, that's what I'd do. But is he your pick?
The orange creamsicle, man. I mean, how cool would that be to just evoke some memories? Better have the 22 on it. That's all I know. And it'd be even cooler if he did it, you know, the same exact dunk or something, you know, like just to pay homage, kind of like Josh Smith did to Dominique Wilkins in the 05 dunk contest. But you know what? He won't be my pick. I'm going to go ahead and go with this is tough. I'm going to go with Donovan Mitchell. And you know what? I like what he brings to the table, just as a player overall. But, I mean, did you see that Jazz game last night? And the streak they're on, the 11-game streak they're on, is ridiculous.
He's so good. Teams are going to be, like, everyone knows this, but teams are going to be kicking themselves for years for, like, why, you know, like, why for not picking him. Like, he's so good.
12 other teams, right?
Yeah.
Number 13 in the draft? Yeah. Ridiculous. But I just think his athletic ability is freakish. I could see him being more than a game dunker, just because of the hops he has. But I mean, I feel like we have a pretty good field. I mean, it sucks that Aaron Gordon had to go down with injury and miss it.
And sucks Levine. Sucks Levine isn't there.
Yeah.
I think my pick is Dennis Smith, just because I think he just might do something crazy, and that's kind of what I'm hoping for. But I have no idea. And Larry Nance could easily win this. I think if he played into the vintage and his dad, like, does his dad dunk in the old Cavs jersey, that would go a long way. And it's like set up to do that now. It'd be weird if he did that with the Lakers, but I think like that selling point could be really cool.
Well, unfortunately too, every dunk in the dunk contest is a 50 now. So, I mean, there's not really too much separation that can be made, but, shoot, Yeah, I mean, I like the field. I mean, Oladipo, Smith, Mitchell, and Nance Jr. Not too terrible. I think that the expectations are going to be too high a little bit, though. But we'll see. We'll see what the rookie can do. I'm picking Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, I'm here for. I think any of them could win. Like Oladipo could easily win. Maybe he has something crazy in there. Who even knows? But it'll be All-Star Weekend's always a good little break. Well, Cavs are back in action next Thursday. You can find Spencer is writing at the Basketball Insiders and find him on Twitter @SpinDavySpencer. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on, Chris. Let's talk again.
Talking soon, and everyone will be back Monday. Some sort of episode TBD, but you'll have another Locked On Cavs on Monday. Talk to you then.